We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. And the text today is 44. Translation. My dear Lord Nrsimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Maunavrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. This is the decision of the Vaishnav, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in this material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can go even to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivo dvije paradurutyaya vaitaranya. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28. Narayana paraksarvena kutashana bhipyati swarga parvarga narakeshu api tulyarta darshinaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same, for such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets is equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis, therefore, try to be happy by material enjoyment. And jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalaya or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that one may show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nanyam tadasya sharanam brahmato nupashye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within this universe, life after life, but by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation. Nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna-conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Shatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhat Saraswati Tinamine Shri Barshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Shri Rupanugha Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaurakishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gora Virvava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajjanapriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Twishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Sudatau Pongor Mama Manda Matirgati Matsarva Swapadam Bojau Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kulpa Drumada Srimad Ratna Gana Singhasanasta Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Deva Preshtali Bisevya Manos Marami Sriman Rasarasarambi Vamshivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Swanir Gopir Gopinatha Shriestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindayai Tulsidevyai Priyayai Keshavasyacha Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Shri Nishinga, Jai Nishinga, Jai Jai Nishinga, Pralada Desha Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma Bringa, Yada Yada Hidharmasya, Glanir Bhavati Bharata, Abhyutanam Adharmasya, Tadatmanam Srijamyaham, Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya Chaduskritam, Dharma Samstapanartaya, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge, Manmana Pavamad Bhakto, Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, Mami Vaishasi Yuktvaivam, Atmanam Matparayanaha, Sarvadharman Parityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Braja, Ahang Tvang Sarva Papebhyo, Mokshayishami Masuchaha, Shushusho Shradhanasya, Vasudeva Kataruchihi, Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra, Punyatirta Nishevanad, Shinvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtanaha, Pridyantaksto Hyapadrani, Fitunoti Suhritsatam, Nashta Praeshu Apadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavati Uttama Shloke, Paktir Bhavati Naishtaki, Tada Rajastamo Bhava, Kama Loba Dayaschaye, Chaitai Eter Anavitam, Stitam Satve Prasidati, Evam Prasanna Manaso, Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha, Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, Mukta Sangas Sajayate, Vidyate Hridaye Grantis, Chijante Sarva Samshayaha, Shiyante Chasya Karmani, Drishta Evatmanishvare, Malihai Karishe Bijarupan, Shravana Kirtana Jali, Karishe Chan, Tahan Vistarita Hoy, Pali Prema Pal, Ihan Male Seche Nitya, Shravanari Jal, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, Shikshartameka Purusha Purana, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari, Kripam Yastamaham Prabhadye, Kala Nashtam Jirogam Nicham Dya, Pradushkartam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nama, Avirabhutas Tasya Padara Vinde, Gadam Gadam Liyatam Chitrabinga, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gopremanande, Hare Hare Bo, Praina Deva Munayasva Vimuktikama, Maunam Charanti Vijanena Parartanishta, Naitan Vihaya Kripanan Vimamukshe Eko, Nanyam Todasya Sharanam Brahmuto Nupashye. My dear Lord Nisringadeva, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Monavrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. There's so much in the mood of Srila Prabhupada. This is Srila Prabhupada's mood, and he loved these verses by Prahlad Maharaj. The overwhelming and overflowing compassion of the Vaishnava's heart, that although the Vaishnava is completely satisfied to stay in a holy place and read Srimad Bhagavatam and be fully absorbed, there's a suffering. It's actually transcendental suffering, because material suffering comes by identification of false ego. And when I'm not the center and I don't get what I want, then I actually do suffer. But the suffering of the Vaishnava is a transcendental suffering, which is actually happiness, pleasure. It's called paradukaduki. The Vaishnavas suffer because of the suffering of others, even though they're fully satisfied. And they know also that the Lord feels anxiety because of the suffering of the conditioned souls, those souls that have separated themselves from the Lord. And he desires that they all come back to him. And the devotees, the Vaishnavas, know this about the Lord, and they see a great opportunity also that by reaching out to the conditioned souls and giving them an opportunity to come to Krishna consciousness, it so much satisfies Krishna. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nachatasman manusheshu kashchan me priyakritamaha, that there's nobody more dear to me than the person who helps others come closer to Krishna consciousness by teaching them the message of Bhagavad Gita. He says, nor will there ever be one more dear to me. So this is a vein of mercy that one can connect to. And the Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada says in this purport, is meant for this purpose. It is meant to give people an opportunity to come closer to Krishna consciousness, and also for the members of the Krishna consciousness movement to experience this special mood of Prahlad Maharaj and the great Vaishnavas by working diligently in all different kinds of conditions in order to give others an opportunity to come closer to Krishna. And in the distracted age of Kali Yuga, it may be very difficult to live without being disturbed by the mind and the senses and the external environment. Do you find that to be so? Please say yes. Thank you. However, there's a kind of there's a way to practice Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada taught us, through which one can be, as he said, in complete samadhi, and that is by meditating on this mood of Prahlad Maharaj to help others, and fully absorb the senses in the activities through which one can reach out in the best possible ways to bring others closer to Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada advocates for this again and again. Obviously, he taught us that we have to be very stringent and careful in the way that we practice our own sadhana, because without that, we won't even realize the value of giving it to other people. In fact, sometimes people who are engaged in Krishna conscious activities, even outreach, after losing a sense of their own practice or losing their own practice, then they think, well, maybe I'll sell something else besides Bhagavad Gita. I can sell soap on a rope. There's soap on a rope you can sell. Maybe that's as good as Bhagavad Gita. And so one must appreciate what one's getting. In fact, this is really the genesis of the Krishna consciousness movement, is in that moment of a deep appreciation and gratitude for the holy name, realizing that Krishna is maintaining my very life. One feels this overwhelming gratitude and wants to share with others. When one has a sense of overwhelming gratitude and appreciation, then the person's heart opens, becomes what is called a great soul, a mahatma. Mahatma, great soul, means the capacity has grown in that person to share with others. So Prabhupada teaches us, following the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, that one can enter into this realm of helping others as one's practicing one's own sadhana, and be fully focused, have one's senses fully engaged in an activity that is of the internal energy of the Lord. The act of working hard to help other people come to Krishna consciousness is actually under the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gives this order. In fact, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas recognize this order, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, wherever you go, whoever you see, give them Krishna consciousness. He even said, elevate yourself to the position of being very heavily laden with spiritual knowledge and be fully situated and have your own 2 feet on the ground, be nishta. This means guru. So that you can help other people. And so this is an open order that anyone can take to diligently absorb the message of Krishna through the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna with full attention, and then use the rest of one's energy for seeing how one can reach out to other people and give them Krishna consciousness. And in this, one can be in complete samadhi, practical samadhi, Prabhupada calls it. There is something very edifying about seeing the faces, the countenances of others as we give them Krishna consciousness and witnessing their satisfaction. It reignites our own impetus to practice Krishna consciousness. When we go out into public, and practically there is mayhem in the outer world because people are going in every different direction trying to find an object that will satisfy them. I was thinking about our excursion yesterday into that very special place we went, and I can't remember what it's called. Leicester Square? Leicester Square, my impression was that people were aimless. Well, they weren't exactly aimless. They were looking for something. They're not sure what it is. And they're going in all different directions and not quite bumping into each other, but going this way and that. But they can't find an object to look at that will actually satisfy them. That's an opportunity. So we went with several devotees, maybe 70 devotees or so, went down to Leicester Square. Some chanted Hare Krishna, and others met people individually to discuss the matter about an object. We would suggest an object that would satisfy them. Because if one has experienced it oneself, and Prabhupada mentions it in the context of this verse, one must be convinced that there is no other object, that the supreme object of meditation, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Jai Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gonitai ki jai, Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Gopremanandi Haribo. One must experience for oneself the complete satisfaction of focusing one's mind, even if it's even for a few seconds, if one can experience the complete satisfaction one feels by focusing on with full attention on the holy name or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of devotees. One can experience that Krishna is the complete whole. Om Purnam Adhak Purnam Idam. Prabhupada writes in his purport to this verse that all forms of incompleteness are experienced due to incomplete knowledge of the complete whole. So if one has this experience for oneself and then goes out into the vast worlds where people are bumping into each other looking for that object and not finding it, one will feel confident about introducing this object that they can look at and experience for themselves and say, here, look at this. Maybe this will help. Just have a look for a second. And we noticed yesterday in our experiment of meeting people at random was that little Jiva, who's wandering the universe, is actually interested in this. That's why they're out there. They just haven't been given enough information yet about where to find the object that will satisfy them. And so we started experimenting yesterday by trying to make a conscious contact with people who were moving about Leicester Square. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that it gives directions about how to do this. Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu dvisatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. Those who go out to teach Krishna consciousness must select people who are open to the prospect of of being introduced to a superior object of their meditation. And so the verse says that there are several kinds of entities that we should be aware of. One is that we should be aware of Krishna. We should know Krishna for ourselves by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and chanting Hare Krishna. Then we should also be aware of the devotees, and that devotees are special, and that by worshiping devotees, one pleases Krishna. Madbhakta puja bhyadika, Krishna says, if you worship my bhaktas, then I'm more pleased than if you worship me. Then one should be aware of those who are innocent. There are innocents walking around in the world. And then finally, one should be aware of those who are averse to the idea of God and are envious. So if you're aware of these four entities, and then you move about Leicester Square, you can look for them. And one way we discovered to look for them is by making a conscious contact, which is an amazing feat in and of itself. Because how is it that you can look at another living entity and spontaneously have an interaction just by contacting their eyes? If you try that for a second now and look around the room, if you dare to, look at somebody else in the eyes just for a second and see what happens. Anybody not dare to do this? How did it work out for you? Somebody's looking back at you, right? Who was that? Who was it who was looking back at you? That's amazing. Krishna says it in the Bhagavad Gita, Ascharyavat pasyati kashyadenam, Ascharyavat vadati tatai vachanya. People try to describe it. Some people hear about it. They don't understand. What is that? That's the most amazing thing in the whole universe. Everything else is predictable and going on in a uniform way, mechanically, but that little spark of consciousness that's part of Krishna and who Krishna accompanies within the heart, that's the interesting part of life. That's the nectar of life. And that's what Sankirtan is. It's actually finding that. It's going out and first studying it in oneself and seeing, oh, that's the essence of my life. That's where the fulcrum of power and satisfaction is in my life, is focusing on the Atma, the consciousness and the relationship that I have with Krishna. And then going out and seeing it in others. And so as we went around meeting people at Leicester Square, we would make conscious contact with a technique that I've learned by using radar, by just putting my hand in to each person who walks by and just saying, hi, hi, hi. And people walk by, and maybe out of 10 people, 4 people would absolutely, completely ignore me. There's ignorance and ignorance. It's the same word, just pronounced differently. So ignorance means ignorance. It means I'm just going to ignore everything. And the existence of God, I'll ignore the existence of God and the existence of myself. And then out of the 10, then there's a few more that acknowledge, they realize that you're looking at them, and that and living entities are really smart because they're part and parcel of Krishna. They're actually very perceptive, and they recognize that you would like to meet them and give them something. But then they decline for one reason or another. It's very hard to understand why they may have multiple reasons to be hesitant. The faith isn't born in them yet. And then out of the rest, there's maybe 3.5 who are so innocent that if you say hi and you look at them in the eyes, they'll just say, hi, what do you got? I'll take it. They'll just come over. And then you can embrace them warmly, heart to heart, and be friends right away. You can make friends with people right away, because after all, they're souls and we're souls, and we have a common interest. And in that realm, one can give unlimited gifts. So this is what the verse says. Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu dvisatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha. That you should learn how to pour in as much mercy as possible. be armed to the teeth with mercy. Just have it lined up. All the different ways in which you can conceive of in order to transmit mercy to those people who are open to it. And then pour it in. Just keep pouring and pouring and pouring until they say stop. And so there are in that realm of experimentation with consciousness and going out and meeting people or staying in and meeting people, wherever you are, you can do this. It's not that there's an inside and an outside. It's a holistic process through which one can learn to interact with the with people on this on a spiritual basis. Then one can become fully absorbed in this lifestyle, and there's a lot that goes along with that. There's a way in which to organize one's life around this principle. And by organizing one's life around this principle of distributing mercy and giving to as many people as possible, one can live at the summit of spiritual consciousness. Not only that, as one practices one's sadhana, one will get more and more impetus to practice. And this impetus comes from above, mercy from Krishna, who appreciates, first of all, that one is trying to fulfill his order by giving out mercy to others. And also in remarkable and very subtle ways, as one meets people and sees their own impetus, one may then question one's own impetus and think, why aren't I as enthusiastic as this person? Several years ago, Nirakula Devi Dasi, my wife, and I went to North Carolina, where we like to go regularly because of the community. We enjoy the company of the devotees there, and we're all working together on a project to increase especially the outreach of book distribution. And the first time we were there, it was 108 degrees. I don't know what that is in Celsius, but it's up towards 40 or more. And we were going door to door, and we came to one door where a young man came out who had a physical debilitation, maybe a muscular disease or something. It was very hard for him to move or to speak. And after he opened the door and I showed him a book, his caretaker came out, who was a very stern personality, a nurse, I assumed. And she wasn't in favor of him having the book. But for some reason, he was absolutely in favor of keeping the book. He wanted it at all costs. In fact, at arguing with this nurse, and he wouldn't give it up for any reason. And I mentioned to him about offering something in return, because he would get more out of the book if he offered something in return. And then he immediately agreed, but his nurse disagreed. But again, he prevailed. And he went back, and his nurse actually brought something out and donated on his behalf because of his insistence. And now the nurse was ready for us to go, but we had one more thing to do, and that was to invite him to chant the Maha Mantra. So he said, please, do you believe in the power of prayer? And he said, yes. And we said, then I have this beautiful prayer for you, the names of God, and is meant to wake up pure love for God within your heart. So if you'll repeat after me, then you'll know how to do it. Are you ready? Yes. And then there's, so that's it. It's over. You got to go now. And she started to close the door, and he blocked the door. He wouldn't let her close the door. And knowing that we may have a little bit of time to do this, I said, Hare Krishna. And he can barely talk. And with all his strength, he said, Hare Krishna. I said, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. He was straining himself, his muscles, the muscles of his neck were showing in order to get the sound vibration out. And he went through the whole Maha Mantra. Now, during training sessions, just like yesterday, we bring a lot of devotees along. So there were about 10 devotees there at the door with me. And after he completed the whole Maha Mantra, the door closed. I turned around, and the devotees had tears in their eyes. And as we discussed it later, they were saying, I wish I had that much enthusiasm to chant the Maha Mantra. From this innocent, simple soul who was starving for Krishna consciousness behind closed doors in a compromised situation, being dominated by a nurse that he didn't have much relationship with. What a situation of life. And somehow or other, he recognized the opportunity when he saw it. And Krishna was telling him within his heart, this is the opportunity. And he took it with such gusto, and he tried so hard that the sincerity was palpable. And all the devotees felt it. And they all felt, I want to become like that. I want to become a better devotee. And these kinds of incidents happen again and again when one takes it upon oneself to go here, there, and anywhere in the world in order to present Krishna consciousness. It is exhilarating to find living entities among the masses of crowds bumping into each other who are innocent and open to taking Krishna consciousness. Just yesterday, we met a young man, and he was friendly enough, but he was firm in his resolve that he would not take a book, or he would not interact besides just being friendly, and was about to walk away. And we have this policy of honoring everybody's objections, also warmly appreciating them for who they are, and not expecting anything in return, leaving everyone with a good impression. And that was our full intention. So even though he didn't want to reciprocate by giving something, he reciprocated by being friendly enough. And just before he stepped away, I had a garland around my neck, and I said, here, let me give you this. And I put it around his neck. And he stopped as if he was stunned. And he said, well, I'm going to give you a donation. And it wasn't tit for tat. It wasn't that this is an expensive garland or something like that. It was an exchange of love. We had given it out of just appreciation for the fact that he was alive and he was a part and parcel of Krishna. It's in that flow. And then he wanted to immediately reciprocate. And that's the nectar of life, this reciprocation. Rupa Goswami writes about it about the loving exchanges that one has in devotional service, giving gifts, accepting gifts. It seems so simple, but actually that's where the real nectar of life is. Revealing one's mind and hearing others reveal their mind. It's an amazing thing, that the real church on the street, where you can meet living entities and then you can actually reveal your mind. You can just be honest with them and tell them what you're thinking and what you think is a good idea. And then they often then will reveal their mind right there on the spot in the huge crowd while people are moving here and there. And you feel this heart-to-heart exchange. And you can give prasad and accept prasad. So this is in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. He likes this. He wants to move into the big cities and towns where he can be amidst this clamor, where there are all kinds of living entities to choose from, to have this loving exchange with. So we're so well situated because Prabhupada gave us the means and the wherewithal to do this kind of service. One of the ways in which was he organized all this infrastructure so that we can come together and hear and chant ourselves to our full satisfaction. And then he also gave us, so this is what Joseph T. O'Connell, who is a preeminent scholar of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in the academic world, mentioned in his essay called Institutionalizing Prema, said there's the hard institution and there's the soft institution. An institution, he said, is the means through which one transmits culture across time and geography. And he said, culture means that which is a real, right, and valuable. And how do you transmit that to the world? How does it transfer it? Well, one way is the infrastructure, the organization itself, which provides facility. But he said the best of all institutions in Gaudiya Vaishnavism is the soft institution. He said the soft institution is the Gaudiya literatures. And he said these are actually the means through which we most readily transmit culture across time and geography. And being aware of the time and my propensity to go way past the time, I'm now going to segue from that statement into a PowerPoint. It's not PowerPoint, it's keynote presentation, which is called The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword. But you have to tell me what my last statement was. In order to make the segue. What is it? Yes. To transmit an institution is the means through which to transmit culture across time and geography. And culture means that which is real, right, and valuable. So, in writing my book, Our Family Business, I was thinking in terms of the overall strategy of distributing books. Because I noticed while writing and researching and meeting people that oftentimes devotees would think that this was perhaps a sentimental idea about book distribution. And not practical. And some told me that actually, unbelievably, some told me that Prabhupada wasn't actually that into book distribution. This was a concoction by fanatical people who followed after him and who sort of ran away with the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada wanted us to just be a little docile and, yes, go out and chant, and if people came over, then offer them a literature or two, but not interfere in their lives and go here and there and introduce books. And I just to make sure I was sane, I talked with many senior godbrothers and godsisters who were there at the time, and they said, this is insanity. And then I realized how quickly the message given by a particular person can be misconstrued, and it can morph into something else. There's a book I read by Guy Kawasaki, one of the founding members of the Apple Corporation. He wrote a book called Art of the Start, and he said that when you have an organization, you have to frame or be framed. Unless you frame your mission over and over again for people, they'll make their own mission and say, no, it's like this. And it moves off into different directions. So looking at the book distribution movement itself, which Prabhupada listed as the seventh of the purposes of ISKCON, in which he said will help us to fulfill all the other previous purposes of ISKCON, I looked at book distribution more as a strategy in general, not necessarily the Krishna consciousness movement strategy, but how has the distribution of literature itself affected human society in general? So, The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword is a line from a poem, which I thought was appropriate for this. And first of all, I'd like to talk just very briefly about the future of the book, because one of the myths that I hear from people is that books will soon be no longer available in human society because people don't like books anymore. They only like electronic media. And because of the electronic revolution, people will no longer read paper books, so don't print paper books. Now, I'm not advocating only for paper books. Any medium through which we can distribute the transcendental message is perfectly fine and good. But I just wanted to dispel this myth because the research by those who are publishing both in electronic media and in paper print is that books are not going anywhere anytime soon. The market for analog books is very sound and increasing. People like books. They have in human society for hundreds of years. People have been writing on things for millennia. That whatever they can find to write on, they do it, and they transmit the written word through that medium. We just have to have paper books right now, and it's working quite well, and it's going on. So the up-to-date data on this is extremely consistent. So I'm just saying, don't worry, books are not going away. That's the simple message. Okay? Were you worried? You weren't worried? You were worried? A little bit? Okay, but not anymore, right? Okay, so now, what are books? What is a book? Sometimes you have to stop and look at things because it's so easy to take everything for granted. Like you take your ear for granted, but if you look at it in the mirror for a while, you think, that's amazing. It's like a little satellite dish. It's designed just to catch sound and everything. Like, who thought of that? Where did I get this? I mean, you just think, I'm depressed. I mean, you just look at your ear. You have an ear. You know that? The world's actually amazing in all its aspects. And so, you know, one might, because we have so many books around, it's like, I have books in the back of my Honda hatchback. You know, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It's a huge deal. What are books? What are these books? Books are containers. And what do they contain? They contain seeds. What kind of seeds? Idea seeds. And what's exciting about that is that little Jiva, who we mentioned earlier, in relationship to Leicester Square and everywhere else in the universe, I mean, the whole universe is one big Leicester Square, actually. People just bang, bumping into each other and looking for an object that will satisfy them. So what is the Jiva called? In technical terms, tatasta. What does tatasta mean? Marginal. What does marginal mean? Between this and between that, neither here nor there. It's kind of interesting little entity, right? And so what my translation of that is that little Jiva is open to suggestion. That's a practical way to put the marginal energy. He's open to suggestion. Because after all, the whole universe is being manifested by Mahavishnu in order to give little Jiva a chance to get some really good suggestions, not bad ones. I mean, there's a lot of bad suggestions out there. Like people say, drink Coca-Cola. Open a bottle of happiness. That is their new campaign. And is there happiness inside the Coca-Cola bottle? Who can say? No? What is inside? Sugar water. But they say, open a bottle of happiness. This is not a great idea. But little Jiva sees the sign, open a bottle of happiness, get Coca-Cola. They use psychological means because they show people happy in the background. And they think, I'll actually look better if I drink Coca-Cola. And so they actually buy it. They put good money down and they bring it home in a bottle. And then they open it. And every cell in the body of Jiva is going, don't put that in here. And he's going, no, I saw it. I saw it on the television, and this is good. This is happiness. And he drinks it. That's how open to suggestion little Jiva is. And he can do all kinds of stuff that's even stupider than that. And does regularly. In fact, they form whole societies and organizations based around really stupid stuff because Jiva is open to suggestion. So that's why human beings as I mentioned, millennia have been writing things down because they understand that Jiva is open to suggestion and they write things down and they introduce it into society and they say, okay, here, take a look at this. Does it work? Well, look at this. This is a printing press. On the left-hand side, you see scrolls written by hand. To write on a palm leaf, you have to take a stylus. It's a metal stylus and you have to make an impression on the palm leaf. And then you have to lay the palm leaf in the sun. And when the sun touches that part that's been impressed, it makes that black mark on the leaf. How long does it take to write a Bhagavad Gita like that, approximately, would you say? How long would it take all of you? A month, a year. I mean, and if you make a mistake, you have to start over. There's no word processor there. I mean, that was a painstaking process, but still, back in the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he found the Brahma Samhita, he had it all copied by hand. There were scribes, that's all they did to make that available, because the impetus is so strong, because the Chit Shakti and the Jiva, he wants some knowledge. He's not getting the right stuff, usually. So then, humans are so ingenious, came up with this, let's make a machine instead of doing it by hand. This is called the printing press. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur liked this very much. He said, yes, this is a Brihat Madanga. Let's print, just like actually the Christians came up with this, Gutenberg. He wanted to print Bibles. So he came up with a way to print Bibles fast, because whoever prints the most books and gets them out there faster wins, apparently. And, I mean, literally in our organization. So there's a printing press, movable type, so they could print Bibles faster, and it made a market difference all over the world when these Bibles started going out here, there, and everywhere. So the Bible was one of the first books to start going out all over the world from the printing press. And then we see other books. Do you have this book, anybody? Even Rupa Vilas doesn't have it. Anyone have it in your car? Is it in your car? You have it on your nightstand at home? Well, let me ask you this. Who's heard of evolution? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Raise your hand if you haven't heard of evolution. Okay, that makes it easier. But have you read the book? No. How did you hear about it? Evolution, theory of evolution. Where did it come from? It came from this book. Charles Darwin wrote it down. He codified his ideas in writing. The book got sent out into society. It's a container. It opened up. The idea seeds spilled out into society, and they started to grow. And now you'll find people speculating in all kinds of self-help books saying, we have two parts of the brain. One part of the brain was when we were cavemen and before we evolved to a higher level. And they just accept a priori that this is a fact. And they go on with this because these idea seeds have gone out everywhere. Here, there, and everywhere. Wealth of Nations, classical economics. Now, there are basic principles of classic economics that are ingrained in people so much that they'll fight to the death to defend them. Where did it come from? It came from a book. These ideas were written down by Adam Smith, and they spilled out into human society. Here's one, how to foment revolution. Fidel Castro, according to the public broadcasting system, who did a special on him, said that he was in prison because he was a small-time revolutionary at first. He got thrown in prison for his coup attempt. And while he was there, he kept writing. How did he write? On paper with lime juice, because it's invisible. So his then-fiance Mitra would come and visit him, and she would take out these apparently blank pieces of paper, reconstitute the writing by putting them in the sun, and then compile them into a book, started to distribute them, the book History Will Absolve Me. And by the time he got out of the prison, the people in general were ready for revolution. And he prevailed because of the power of this book. Here's one that's agreed upon by all historians. The American Revolution was fomented by a book, this book called Common Sense. Actually, it remains the best-selling book of all time, per capita, of any other book. He sold it in the colonies. And because people read the book, according to historians, they rose up and they had the American Revolution. And now you've got another Sankirtan spot called America. So, sampradaya means to give. It actually, that's the word means, to bequeath, to give the greatest gift, to pass it on. And we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found the Brahma Samhita. He adored literature. He had this copy given to his favorite disciples, Krishna Karnamrita as well. And now I want to bring your attention to something you might not have noticed previously. Have you all seen this picture? Three or four of you only? Okay. Now, there's something anachronistic about this picture. This is Brahma. It's the beginning of creation. What do you find anachronistic, that unusual about this picture? He's holding a book. Where did he get a book at the beginning of creation? A printed book. That's the book. Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, who wrote the foreword to my book called Our Family Business, informed me that our sampradaya is known as the sampradaya of the book. And that's why Brahma's holding a book. In all the pictures you'll see of Brahma within the Gaudiya Sampradaya, he's holding a book at the beginning of creation, representing the Sampradaya. What is Sampradaya? Gift giving. What are we giving? We're passing down the greatest gift, which is knowledge. And it's getting transmitted right now, at least this time in history, through the written book and through electronic books. Now let's take another survey. Who is this? What is he? You need to work with me on this section in order to make it dynamic. Are you ready to work with me? This is early in the morning, 8:45? Okay. So there's two words. Book, say book.
Book.
But you got to really say book because it's something you can enunciate. Book.
Book.
No, that's not it. That's like a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. Book.
Book.
3. Book.
Book.
Okay. And books.
Books.
That was a 2. Books.
Books.
All right. Now you can either say book or books when I show you this as an answer. Are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. What is Srila Vyasadeva sitting there writing?
Books.
Who is this? What is he holding in his hand?
Books.
Correct. Who is this? What is he writing there?
Books.
Correct. Who's that? By the way, what is he sitting there writing?
Books.
Correct. Who is this? What are they famous for doing? Writing.
Books.
Correct. Who is this? What is he posing with?
Books.
Who's this? Oh my goodness, what's that in the background? Who is this? His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Have you ever noticed in this picture that he's posing with something?
Books.
What is it?
Books.
Correct, very good. So, this is a high sadhana. Book distribution is a high sadhana. We're passing on the Sampradaya. This is an institution unto itself. It transmits culture across time and geography. It brings what's real, what's right, what's valuable to the human society. It's idea seeds that spill out of the hearts of the people. It changes their lives. It changes society. It's not sentimental. It's practical. It's a strategy. It needs to be made available to everybody in every language. And Prabhupada mentioned that he wants as many books in as many languages distributed throughout the whole world. So those who participate in this enter into the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, and they can achieve the highest levels of devotional service by being fully absorbed in the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They can achieve Raganuga Bhakti. They can achieve Bhava. They can achieve Prema by chanting Hare Krishna and absorbing themselves in the mood of compassion by giving Krishna consciousness to as many people as possible. It is highly available. This is 1975 in the Sri Vrindavan Dham, the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. How did Prabhupada start his movement? How did he sustain it? What was his plan? He wanted that books be printed, made available for us to read, to distribute them, and also to realize profits from the books that would build temples all over the world. So this is the perfect gift for people all over the world. We have a movement that's starting from a platform that is gigantic. Buddhism, you'll find a few little sutras, and it's grown into a world movement. We're starting from a much larger platform of knowledge, the detailed knowledge of the kingdom of God and our relationship with God. Our movement also supports the infrastructure of the institution through book distribution. You just saw a picture of the TOVP, through which, for instance, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust gives millions of dollars from the proceeds that come from the natural markup that takes place that Prabhupada mandated. When we sell a book, there's so much in it. It's going to help build the infrastructure of ISKCON, new temples like the TOVP, and also to reprint more books. And also, the first time that I met Srila Prabhupada with a group of devotees in San Francisco, 1973. We were introduced as a Sankirtan party, and the first thing Prabhupada said to us is, you must read my books. I've not written them just for selling. He said, I want you to read them, become pure devotees, and go back to Godhead. So reading and distributing and taking access to higher association. There's been so much talk about war and so forth that people are sick of it. So we are interested in weapons of mass instruction, and that this is a basis of our movement. And now we have 7 minutes to take some reflections. Yes, Vishvambara Prabhu.
Thank you, Vaisheshika Prabhu Ki Jai. It was a very nice, inspirational talk. I was just reflecting on, it's interesting that the Acharya, they're always expressing very, very humble mood, very humble, even when it comes to portray themselves in pictures. As opposed, you know, celebrities, the pride comes out when they like to be photographed, you know, with either a woman or money or a building or some achievement, you know, that they have achieved. But you could see that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they were very proud, actually, proud to pose, you know, with their loved object, the books. And it's actually something that a devotee should be proud of, you know, to distribute these books, to be associating. Because ultimately, they say that the real beauty is actually knowledge. So to be associating with this beauty, one becomes beautiful as well. And it's liquid religion. By reading these books, one becomes beautiful, just like yourself. You're a beautiful person because you leave the book, you read the book, you distribute, and you have the power to inspire the world. So we need more consciousness of that, you know, to associate much more with those books. Because that's the thing that they will stay. Everyone will go. We all die. The only thing left behind, even the buildings, they will collapse one day. But the knowledge, we could see the Bible, the empire of Catholic Church was built from one book, the Bible. And had the power of generating manpower, money, faith. So much, an empire. So that's why Srila Prabhupada and all the Acharya, and I could see even from yourself, you stress, you know, in this, we could say, is the spinal of the body, of the society, you know, the knowledge books. So I just wanted to thank you so much for this presentation. I found it very inspirational, and I hope we can have a more consciousness of the gift that is being passed on to us and to pass it on to the human society. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yes. Pass it this way as quickly as you can.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I'd like to thank you for a really very inspiring presentation. I'm a little in trepidation to open up my heart and to voice my my actual doubt. So I hope that in opening up my heart and expressing my actual doubt, I don't cause any offense or bring down the very positive mood. But these books are actually very difficult to understand. And in Bhagavad Gita, we're told, machitam matgata prana. They have to be discussed and share each other's realizations and threadbare, go through them. Prabhupada so often says, threadbare, discuss scrutinizingly amongst yourselves. And also, of course, in the Bhagavatam, Satam Prasangam, it has to be discussed in a way where opposing views, we can develop pleasing to the ear and the heart. And so I think the only thing that, at least personally for me, holds me back is that I see that there's many generations of devotees who've come, but that culture of Satam Prasangam, that culture of Machita Madgata Prana, has been lacking. And so we come and we're eager and we want to penetrate and enter into these books, but I don't find just monologue lectures help me to do that. I need to threadbare discuss Prabhupada's books. And I think for me personally, that's something that holds me back, because I think it's one thing to give person the book and another thing to create a culture where when they come into that culture, it's everywhere around them, we're entering into the book through threadbare discussion. And I think over the years that's kind of like created a, I don't know, it's kind of like, I feel I want to focus more on penetrating the book before I feel I can actually give it.
Thank you for your important observation. I would not agree with the premise that distributing the book is one thing and entering deeply within it is another. I would say that they're intimately connected. They're not divided. The seed has to be planted somewhere, and we also have to have good gardeners. We have to have good soil. We have to have an environment through which the plants can grow as well. I do find that living entities are extremely smart. They know how to figure things out. Unlimitedly complicated equations and ways in which to organize their own lives in normal society in order to have the greatest advantages. And when they're given even a little information from a higher source, that knowledge which is from outside the closed system of the material world, they intuitively know how to take advantage of it. So I wouldn't discount the mass distribution and touching people for the first time with transcendental literature. The Bhagavad Gita has been preserved throughout society because it is so easy to understand. And hasn't been interpolated like many other scriptures because it is so complete in and of itself. Nonetheless, I don't think you'll find anybody who agrees with you more about creating a culture of hearing and chanting. In our community at ISV, we emphasize this at every turn. We continually keep the churn, the reading of Prabhupada's books in various ways. I myself like to retreat at least every day. I take time to read a set number of pages of Prabhupada's books, and I encourage everybody who's connected me to do that, the same thing, and to come together and discuss. At Govardhan every year, we spend 1 month, 30 days, just reading Prabhupada's books, 5.5 hours a day. Last year during Kartik, we read the entire 11th canto, that is all the verses and all the purports, the entire 12th canto, the entire Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and the entire teachings of Lord Chaitanya. We did that in 28 days, 5.5 hours a day, a group of 22 devotees crammed into one tiny room, living only to read and hear and discuss. So I resonate with your point, but I would say that that they go together. The handing the book to somebody is connected to a suite of services that we offer people so that they can come incrementally closer to this target of hearing 24 hours a day, discussing in the association devotees and so forth. So the spirit of your comment is something that is much needed all over the world. And I know other advanced devotees like yourself who are propagating this and helping others to come into environments where they can hear and chant to their heart's content. Thank you for inspiring us. Hare Krishna. I have an app called the Be a Sage, page by page. We created that because I found it extremely useful to measure how much I was reading every day in order to complete all the Prabhupada's books within a given amount of time. You can go to the App Store for iOS or also for, what's the other thing?
Android.
And on there you can download this Be a Sage, page by page. It's free. And it will give you some direction and also a way to measure how much you're hearing and chanting every day. And, yes? Anything else? Okay. Yeah, it's that time. The cane's coming out. Yes.
Nothing much. Just thinking of that expression that came out some years back. You will remember, I'm sure, about boiling the milk.
Yes.
And I think that, as you say, it's a holistic process because I think you said it's a suite of services.
Yes.
I think it's a nice way to describe it because there are those who are kind of on the front line, and then there are those who, when the people come and say, what does this mean? What does this mean? You know, they're reading the books, they're becoming inspired, but they come in contact with so many things they don't understand. And then there's a lot of people who can then take it from that point and further explain, further elucidate, and help in that way. So it's,
yeah, and I also advocate that everyone should take some time each month to be on the front line, because this is an aspect of boiling the milk. You're not going to get any hotter than walking out the door, a higher temperature, which will encourage you to also go more deeply within your own hearing and chanting. As I mentioned before, there are many other aspects. When you interact with people, it inspires you to actually go deeper yourself. Because if you're challenged also as you're presenting, then you become hungry. I always say that a good hearing and chanting session is one that you walk away with more questions than answers. Where you think, oh, I have to find where all the connections are. And that happens also when you meet people and you present Krishna consciousness. They say, yeah, what about this? Why should I read this? And you think, yeah, why should anybody read it? That you have to go more deeply within yourself. It is holistic, and just as there's rice, anybody like rice? No Bengalis in here? And then there's dal. Mung is the king of all beans. And these two are good foods, correct? Please say yes. Now, when you put them together, according to Jamuna's cookbook in the section on rice, you get 42% more nutrition. There's synergy in the two. So when you hear and chant, and you also give your full attention to how to give it to other people at the same time, you get this super sadhana. The two things go together very, very nicely. A very powerful environment is created because of that. Yes, for the crescendo. We can't hear you. It's either not on or... Send the IT team.
Yeah, okay. Speak louder.
Yeah, no. About the point of reading, you were saying how in 1 month you managed to go through the entire 11th canto, Isha Panishad, and so on. And I think that's very admirable. But just to add to the point that my wife is making, that I think she was trying to say that the depth of Prabhupada's books is also there. And we discuss on a daily basis in the morning Bhagavatam and the evening Gita every single day, for at least half an hour each one. And it may take us sometimes a month to go through one purport, because we find that, you know, the depth of Prabhupada's writing is so profound. You know, some of these purports that, and one sentence can be like, you can get so much out of it, you can unpack it, and here are the realizations of a self-realized soul, an incredible personality, and we can draw so much gold out of those books. If we take a little time, I think, you know, to read through, like you were saying, or see how much we can get, what we get through in a given period of time. I think also there's something to be said for not giving yourself that kind of, you know, pressure, if you like, but just saying, well, let me just go with it and see what comes out of it when I discuss it with, you know, like-minded people and bring out the realization, bring out the depth of knowledge that Prabhupada put into those books. And I mean, I think he said his own spiritual master said you could spend 1 month per verse, and it would take 1,500 years to read the entire Bhagavad Gita. So we've been experiencing that, my wife and I, especially with Prabhupada's purports. So because they're so important, I just wanted to add that.
I loved your point. And I think it's a good argument on both sides. It's kind of like arguing which is better, Sandesh or Rasgulla. And I would argue that Sandesh is, well, much better. This is a good problem to have, whether to go deep or wide. And this should be the kind of pressure that we feel on both sides, how to go deep and wide within this transcendental knowledge. You have an historic monument here to the world that you're all animating because of your enthusiastic presence. And it's such a great honor to be here with all of you. My wife and I are meeting so many devotees here. Our hearts are touched. Amazing leaders are emerging here, and the stalwarts are going on throughout their lives, dedicating their entire existence to spreading Krishna consciousness. And it's been such an honor to be here at Bhaktivedanta Manor with all of you. I thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpadurvishcha kripasindabhevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
Hare Krishna. We would like to show our gratitude to Vaisheshika Prabhu with one very loud Hari Bol. Hari Bol! And just a quick thing, you know, I consider this book the book of freedom. It's not just about book distribution. It's actually it's a book, you know, it's everything is there, you know, how to perfect our sadhana, how to deliver ourselves, and how to, you know, it's like the map, you know, that shows the conditioned souls, how to become free from this material world and achieve the Lord's feet of Krishna.